The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Metaxas Show. It's the show that helps you make sense of things that would otherwise baffle you. Like, for example, why does that one shoe hide in the back of the closet like that?
Is it afraid of you, or does it just need some alone time?
Or maybe it's ashamed of something. Something terrible that only a shoe would be ashamed of.
The answers to these and other questions right here, right now on the Eric Metaxas Show.
And now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Oh, hello. I don't believe I saw you come in. You gave me quite a start. Thanks for tuning in. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Folks, this is very important. If you know me, my relationship with Chuck Colson, Prison Fellowship, they created this thing called Angel Tree, which is just amazing. They reach out to the kids of prisoners. It is so beautiful. These kids can get out of a bad environment and go to a beautiful camp, Christian environment, for a week. For $200, you can send one of these kids to Angel Tree Camp. I recommend it very highly, and I'm asking you, whatever you can give, doesn't matter. If you give $100, we'll give you a free subscription to Metaxas Super, but I know you're not giving to get. Go to MetaxasTalk.com. Please be generous. God bless you. How do I begin? I, for many years, have done something called Socrates in the City, and even the name Socrates in the City was inspired by today's guest. His name is Dr. Peter Kreeft, or Kreeft, depending on whether you wish to pronounce it correctly. He is a philosophy professor in Boston and also here in New York at the King's College. Dr. Kreeft, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Eric.
I almost can't believe you're here. By the way, first question, are you wearing a wig?
In other words, underneath this flesh, is there some hair?
I don't know. I just thought I would ask you an absurd question, and you're the kind of a guy that you appreciate that kind of ridiculous humor. That's why I love you, because, you know, you normally, we get very silly very quickly. You and I have had many conversations over the years. You've written so many books. I first met you in Oxford, England, in 1998, I don't know if you remember this, but it was the centenary of the C.S. Lewis, the birth of C.S. Lewis, and you gave a speech in the Sheldonian Theater. Mm-hmm. Thomas Howard had given a speech. Our friend, our mutual friend Thomas Howard, had given a speech. But that's when I first encountered you. I'd read your books before that, and you've written so many books I've completely lost track. So all I know is we'll talk about fun stuff, and we will talk about your latest book, which is titled Symbol or Substance, A Dialogue on the Eucharist with C.S. Lewis, Billy Graham, and J.R.R. Tolkien. What was it that that made you decide to tackle the subject of the Eucharist? I mean, do evangelicals like Billy Graham call it the Eucharist?
Sometimes. They usually call it Holy Communion. It's the same thing. A rose by any other name would smell as sweet.
Yeah.
what inspired me to write the book was the realization that this fictional dialogue may correspond to something that had actually taken place. Graham and Lewis knew and admired each other, and Graham sent some of his people to interview Lewis, and they came back with a favorable report, and Graham wanted to meet Lewis. Whether he did or not is not known. And if
it doesn't seem... Don't you think we would know if he had?
No, because Graham was a kind of a private person, and he didn't parade his persona before the public. And he was also sensitive to ecumenical issues, and he realized that this was a bit controversial, his meeting a Church of England person and a Roman Catholic.
Wait. You're saying you think he may have met Tolkien as well?
Yes, because if he did meet, it probably wouldn't have been at Lewis's digs, but maybe at Tolkien's, kind of a neutral site.
Wow.
It's at least possible.
It's possible. Now, we have to clarify. You have written another book quite like this about Aldous Huxley, John F. Kennedy, and C.S. Lewis, because they died, the three of them, on the same day.
Yes, same afternoon.
Tell us about that book. That book must be about 15 or 20 years old by now.
Oh, it's more than that.
Really?
It's called Between Heaven and Hell. And once I realized that these three people died the same day, I said, what a conversation they would have in the next world if they met. Because Lewis was an Orthodox Christian, and Huxley was a kind of a Buddhist mystic, and I interpreted Kennedy as basically a secular humanist with vague religious overtones. Three worldviews.
They thought that Kennedy would be too Catholic if he were elected president, and he said, I'll show them. I'll bring prostitutes into the White House,
yes.
Which is really not official Catholic doctrine as far as I know.
Except for the Renaissance popes.
Oh, right. Of course. But you write very fluidly and very easily, and the idea of being able to write a fictional dialogue between three dramatically disparate people like Aldous Huxley, Lewis, and Kennedy is extraordinary. But let's face it, it's fun. I know that one of the arbiters of what you do is whether it's fun. I'm the same way. It must be fun for you to sort of play like that.
Fun sells things. The strongest argument for Christianity is the joy of the saints. The strongest argument against it is their dourness.
That's true. Well, whenever we talk about joy in Christianity, I immediately think of G.K. Chesterton.
Yes.
Maybe we can talk about him just for a moment before we get into this book. I had Joseph Pierce on this program talking about Chesterton. I even was recently speaking to Milo Yiannopoulos about the wonders of Chesterton. Chesterton is pretty much sui generis, if that's
yes.
How it's pronounced. There's nobody I can really compare him to.
I just finished a four-volume history of philosophy and subtitled The 100 Greatest Philosophers. I put Chesterton in there. No history of philosophy has yet classified Chesterton as a philosopher. I think he was one.
So when you say you finished, did you say a four-volume?
Yeah.
You finished, you don't mean reading it, you mean writing it.
Yes. Someone once said to me, you've written so many books, you must have written more books than you've read. I don't know whether that's a compliment or an insult.
That's, wow. Who's publishing this?
The four-volume history is St. Augustine's Press. Similar Substance is Ignatius Press.
What is Similar Similar Substance. No. That's the one I'm holding in my hand.
The one you're holding.
I could recognize an Ignatius book from a mile away. They all look the same. They have the most beautiful interiors. They're so beautifully done. Every time I get the Ignatius catalog, I'm thrilled. We'd better...
You know why that is? Because
no.
The people at Ignatius have beautiful interiors. They're beautiful people.
I'm not surprised. I met Father Fessio briefly once, but I have to say that I've admired the books that they publish. And in fact... The books that they have published, Ignatius, have led me in my faith. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I would have encountered you were it not for Ignatius. But let's leap into the current book. This is a new book. It's called Symbol or Substance, A Dialogue on the Eucharist with C.S. Lewis, Billy Graham, and J.R.R. Tolkien. All right, I'll bite. Why did you write this book?
Well, the three of them have three of the most distinctive views of the Eucharist. Graham's is the typical Protestant evangelical view that it's a holy symbol, but not literally the body and blood of Christ. Tolkien's was the full Roman Catholic view of transubstantiation based on dogma. Lewis's Anglican view was, in some sense, a via media between the two. He believed in the real presence, but he didn't understand transubstantiation, and he didn't accept the Catholic claim to an exclusive priesthood. So we have three views here bumping off against each other. And I guess I write the dialogue that I wish I had heard. So it's kind of wishful thinking. So all these three guys are not only profound Christians, but deep thinkers and very open and fair to each other. So this is an example of ecumenical dialogue, as it ought to have been.
This is genuine ecumenical dialogue, which is so rare. It may be unique to this book. Well, I just have to say that what has passed for ecumenical dialogue is usually bromides and platitudes, yes, which don't even begin to touch actual theology. I know that you take theology seriously, you take philosophy seriously, you take thinking seriously, and I'm just glad you've written this. But I guess I want to ask you, first of all, you know, when we're talking about the Eucharist, many people haven't thought too deeply about this. So we're going to go to break. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Don't go right back. I'm talking to Peter Kraft. Stick around.
But he's got the dirtiest job in town, bending low at the people's feet on a windy corner of a dirty street. Will I ask him while he shined my shoes how to keep from getting the blues? He grinned as he raised his little head. He popped his shoe shine.
Are you overwhelmed, unable to think clearly or sleep well at night? Are just trudging through each day, but not really enjoying your life? I'm a counselor with Faithful Counseling, and that feeling of distress can sometimes be because you're wrestling with a problem that seems too big or too impossible to overcome. Other times, people are consumed by a past hurt. I'm part of a network of Christian counselors, fellow believers, trusted therapists who share your faith. We want to give you a free week so you can try us out. You can begin a conversation with one of us by text or phone, even video conferencing today. Are you ready to shake this off and begin enjoying your life? If it's not for you, cancel during your first week and you'll not pay a dime. Go to TryFaithfulCounseling.com. It's time to talk to someone who can help. Go now to TryFaithfulCounseling.com. It's so easy to get started and your first week is free. Go now to TryFaithfulCounseling.com.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
Important bulletin regarding the secret tech stock that everyone is suddenly talking about. The tech stock is set to create 50,000 new jobs right here in America. Donald Trump himself called what they're doing the eighth wonder of the world. And the company is collecting billions from the tech giants, including over $30 billion just from Apple, Nokia, and Microsoft. Yet here's the most intriguing part. This $3 stock trades under a secret name. Just go to OneStockRetirementNow.com to get the whole story.
If credit card debt has you down, nonprofit Trinity Debt Management can help. Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees, and drastically reduce your interest. You'll pay thousands less than you originally owed. It's not a loan. It's a way to become debt-free and possibly improve your credit score. So call Trinity and talk to a certified counselor. They'll explain their proven program to you with no pressure, just practical solutions and hope for tomorrow. Are you ready to pay off your credit cards in less time for less money? Then call for a free, no-obligation debt analysis and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis. Call 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
Hey there, folks. It's Eric Metaxas here. You all know how much I love MyPillow, and now Mike Lindell has come out with the world's most comfortable bed sheets. He finally found the best cotton in the world in a region where the Sahara Desert, the Nile River, and the Mediterranean Sea all come together to create the ideal weather conditions for growing cotton. This is not a joke. His new Giza Dream bed sheets are made with this long staple cotton, and he guarantees they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. The first night you sleep on these sheets, you will never want to sleep on anything else. The Giza Dream sheets are available in a variety of colors, and like all of Mike's products, they come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Right now, you can get your very own by calling 800-978-3057, 800-978-3057, and use promo code ERIC or METAXAS to get 30% off plus free shipping, or go to MyPillow.com, but be sure to use the code ERIC or METAXAS, MyPillow.com.
Give me your attention, I will tell you what I am. I'm a genuine philanthropist, all other kinds are sham. It's little fault of temper and it's social defect in my erring fellow.
Hey folks, that is, I think, the soundtrack from Topsy Turvy. In any case, it's Gilbert and Sullivan. I am sitting here talking to Dr. Peter Crave, professor at the King's College here in New York and also at Boston College in Boston. You get around. And your ideas get around because you write a lot of books. The new one is called Symbol or Substance, A Dialogue on the Eucharist, C.S. Lewis, Billy Graham, and J.R.R. Tolkien in a Conversation. I want to first break down for my audience and for me, what are the three different views? I mean, there are probably more than three, but let's talk about the three different views of the Eucharist, probably starting, if you don't mind, with Tolkien.
Well, I'm not going to directly answer that question because, as you say, there were more than three views. At the time of the Reformation, there was a broad spectrum of different views on the Eucharist, and all the churches were involved in that in a rather polemical way. Lutherans, Zwingli, for instance, each called each other demonic because of Luther's version of the real presence and Zwingli's denial of it. So there's not just three views, but the fundamental difference is Jesus Christ the common Lord and Savior of all three of these guys to whom they are totally devoted? Is he really, truly, personally, fully present behind the appearances of bread and wine, or is that just a holy symbol? And that's apparently a very divisive issue, because if he is, then people like Graham who deny that are missing out on the most perfect union with God that's possible in this life. And if he isn't, then Catholics and even Anglicans like Lewis, who believe in the real presence, are idolaters who are confusing bread and wine with the incarnate God. So that seems to be a very divisive issue. But these three guys don't just parade bromides and hold hands and sing Kimbaya. They argue theology in a very open and charitable way. They love truth, and they love Christ, and they love each other. And nobody converts anybody else. And at the end of the dialogue, nobody's proved to be right or wrong, and yet they make progress in understanding each other.
Okay, so I know that there are going to be some people listening who know all about this and some listening who know nothing about this. So let's just go to the beginning. I myself learn by writing books. When I wrote my biography of Luther, I was forced to dig into this idea of what is the Eucharist, and I was fascinated with what I learned.
I do the same thing. There are two ways to write a book. You know what you're going to say beforehand, or you don't. I think not knowing what you're going to say beforehand makes for a better book, more dramatic.
Well, I have to say that's that's been my experience, because when I wrote about the Eucharist in my own biography of Luther, I was forced to dig into the controversy. In other words, what was Luther's issue with the doctrine of the day? And if you don't mind, explain to my audience transubstantiation, that idea.
Transubstantiation assumes a certain philosophy, basically that of Aristotle and St. Thomas Aquinas, namely that there are real substances or entities with essences. And then they have properties or appearances which appear to our senses, and you can make a real distinction between those two things.
Okay, now that sounds very Aristotelian and a little confusing. In other words, in the modern day, is there a way to put it in more modern terms?
The distinction that we make between nouns and adjectives, is it just linguistic or is it real? Aristotle says it's real. Luther, who was a nominalist, a follower of William Ockham, said, no, it's just linguistic, so we can't project that upon reality.
Okay, let me see if I can tell me if I'm getting this right. We have the Catholic doctrine, transubstantiation, says that when Jesus says, hoc est corpus meum, he says, this is my body, and he literally means this bread, which looks like bread, is in fact not bread, but is my body, but looks like bread. Has the appearance of bread, but is in fact my flesh.
Yes.
When he says this is my blood, it looks and tastes and smells like wine, but in fact it is not. In fact, it is my blood. So Aristotle has these philosophical terms, and of course he's pre-Christian, but he says, so it has the appearance of bread and wine, but the actual substance is the body and blood of Jesus. He would say that. So that's transubstantiation.
Right. Luther believed half of that. He believed that Christ was indeed really present there, but so was bread and wine. So there are two substances there. But he didn't use the term substance. That's an Aristotelian term. He thought that was too rationalistic, too secular, too philosophical. In the Middle Ages, they had this big dispute about universals like human nature or justice or blueness. Were they objectively real or were they just subjective? And that's the distinction between realism and nominalism. So Aquinas was a metaphysical realist. Luther was a metaphysical nominalist. So I think it's a
Who's the father of nominalism?
William of Ockham.
Okay. From which we get Occam's razor.
Occam's razor is the source of nominalism because Occam's razor says always use the simplest possible explanation. And nominalism does without universal, so it's simpler.
Okay, so when we're talking about Luther, and I guess in your book, Tolkien stands in for obviously Catholicism, for the Thomistic view, the Aristotelian Thomistic view, and we have obviously the Anglican here who's has the same thoughts as the Lutheran Luther. He says...
Not quite.
No. Oh, not quite.
Not
so,
quite.
So how is... Well, actually, so let's... I don't mean to sound so pedantic, but I want to be very clear for my audience. So what Luther said was when Jesus says, this is my body, what he is saying is, in fact, my body is here, but this doesn't just have the appearance of bread. It actually is bread.
And it's also his body.
And it's also somehow my body is present here in a more spiritual sense, I guess. It's not physically my body, but my body is here. And so it's a spiritual presence of Christ in what is actually bread. Whereas the Roman Catholic doctrine says, in fact, it's not bread. In fact, it has the appearance of bread, but in fact, it is the flesh of Jesus.
There is another view that's between the Billies and both Lewis's and Tolkien's. That's Calvin's view. Calvin said it is a sign and a seal of our relationship with Christ. So it's not just a symbol, but it's not the real presence of a person of Christ. So this gets very complicated. I read one article that said there were 12 different views of the Eucharist around the time of the Reformation. So it's very complicated. The view Lewis had was basically a rather agnostic view. He noted that Jesus didn't say take and understand, but take and eat.
Now that's interesting. That sounds a little bit like an Eastern Orthodox view to me.
Yeah, it is. I think it is. Yep.
Because I do think in studying Luther, Luther's criticism of the rationalistic attitude of the church through Aquinas from Aristotle, I can see why that bothered him.
Hardly rationalistic, because when Jesus talked about the Eucharist in John 6, most of his disciples left. It was outrageous. It's very hard to believe. So that's not what reason would lead you
no,
to.
No, no, I'm not talking about Jesus.
Clear definition, yes.
I'm talking about, well, when I say rationalistic, maybe I'm misusing the word. I guess it seems like a fussy kind of parsing.
Ooh,
to say,
not at all.
No, I'm not saying that it is. And I know that you're Roman Catholic, and I respect you and your views. But I'm saying that to somebody who isn't, it can seem like a fussy parsing to say, yes, it looks like bread. It has the appearance of bread. But in fact, it's not bread. And so Luther says, in fact, it is bread, but also Jesus is in this somehow.
The biggest difference is between Graham and the other two, not between Tolkien and Lewis, because both Tolkien
right.
and Lewis affirm the complete, real, personal presence of Christ
right.
in it.
Right. And this brings us naturally to Flannery O'Connor. You have to tell us the quote.
She was at a fashionable cocktail party in New York, and she was the token Catholic there, and I think it was Mary McCarthy that said, oh, it's a wonderful symbol. Flannery O'Connor said, well, if it's only a symbol, then the hell with it.
If it's only a symbol, then the hell with it.
How it's a kind of pious thing to say, actually.
Oh, well, you're not kidding. I love it. It's funny because that's kind of the salty personality of Flannery O'Connor, and I love how she just sums it up that way. It's almost as if Dorothy Parker had become a Christian. We're going to be right back with the book Symbol or Substance and its author, Dr. Peter Kraft. Stick around.
Cha 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 d'amour. Take this song to my lover. Shoo shoo.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump says the brutal repression of the Venezuelan people must end, and it must end soon, as he made reference to the unrest in that country. The president speaking today at the White House as part of the National Day of Prayer ceremony. He expressed his sorrow over deadly attacks against churches, synagogues, and mosques. A Department of Justice spokeswoman calling comments by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi reckless and irresponsible, after Pelosi asserted that Attorney General William Barr was not truthful to Congress about the special counsel report. A U.S. House subcommittee is scheduled a May 15th hearing on the Boeing 737 MAX airliner. The committee likely to summon representatives from Boeing, as well as the Federal Aviation Administration and National Transportation Safety Board. They'll be asked how the FAA certified the plane to be airworthy. This is SRN News.
Everyone's talking about Better Together, the exciting new talk show by women and for women airing daily on TBN Television Network. Join host Lori Crouch and some awesome women of faith in action. Better Together is a fast-moving 30 minutes of honest, engaging conversation about all sorts of issues. No topic is off limits. That's what Better Together is all about, living, loving, and growing in God's grace together as friends and family. Join in weekdays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific for Better Together, exclusively on TBN.
When it comes to your identity and devices, there's no soundtrack to let you know you might be in danger. That's why you need LifeLock with Norton Security to look out for silent threats in today's digital universe. No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock helps detect threats to your identity and Norton protects against online threats. Join now at LifeLock.com and use promo code SMART to get 10% off your first year.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
Attention timeshare owners. Getting out of your timeshare is probably at the top of your to-do list. Hi, I'm Karen, owner of Lone Star Transfer. With rising costs, you probably wish you had a way to get out of that burdensome and expensive timeshare. Thankfully, we can help. Our process is done legally, ethically, and quickly. Give us a call for a no-obligation consultation at 844-284-4863. That's 844-284-4863. Or visit us online at LoneStarTransfer.com.
Somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sands and watches the ships that go sailing.
Hey, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking about the Eucharist with Dr. Peter Kraft of the King's College here in New York City. Dr. Kraft, it's almost like a dream to be able to sit here and talk to you of all people about this this very, very important subject, because you know it well. You've written this book, A Dialogue on the Eucharist, with C.S. Lewis, Billy Graham, and J.R.R. Tolkien. You're right. Lewis and Tolkien obviously believe somehow Jesus is very much genuinely present. The details, whether he's present physically or spiritually, I assume Eastern Orthodox would also say that he is present spiritually, but people like Billy Graham and many people in churches that I've attended over the years say, no, it's just a symbol, and we have a little cracker and a little grape juice in a plexiglass, in a plastic vial. Somehow, because I was raised in Greek Orthodox Church, that always bothers me. I thought, I want wine, I want majesty. It strikes me that even if you're not a Roman Catholic who believes in transubstantiation, surely you believe there's something holy about this. And it seems not to be holy when you treat it the way some people do, with just a little bit of grape juice and a little bit, you know, there's just something about the whole thing.
Yeah.
How were you raised? Were you raised Catholic?
No, I was raised as an evangelical Calvinist. And we had basically Billy Graham's attitude towards this. This was a holy thing. This was commanded by Christ. It was not ordinary bread and wine. It was just bread and wine, but it was a holy symbol. So it was taken very seriously, as Graham did.
Well,
not literally Christ.
But that's interesting, because you said it's a holy symbol. In other words, even though it's just a symbol, you're saying that Billy Graham and others who may see it as a symbol can nonetheless accord it a measure of holiness, because I've often seen it presented in a way that seems not to be holy.
Right, right. It's like the Bible. It's a book, but it's a very different kind of book. Muslims will not tolerate putting any other book on top of the Quran, because the Quran is to Muslims what Christ is to Christians, the very center of their faith. It's a book, but it's a holy book. Well, I think Graham has something like that attitude towards the Eucharist. It's not just an ordinary symbol. It's a holy symbol, but it's just a symbol. It's not literally Christ.
But then we get down, since you're a philosopher, I can talk to you about this. What is a symbol?
Ah, yes. Well, the Catholic definition of a sacrament is that it is something that both is and symbolizes the same thing. What it symbolizes, it also effects.
I had a conversation with our mutual friend Thomas Howard, the great Thomas Howard, the author of Chants of the Dance. If you haven't read it, buy it, Chants of the Dance.
Drop everything. It's a great
book. Drop everything. You and I share the highest opinion of the book, Chants of the Dance by Thomas Howard. But I once had a conversation with him about this very subject, about how you move from, what is a sacrament? What is a symbol? What is a myth? It really gets you thinking deeply. And when you said a sacrament is a symbol that does what?
It effects that which it signifies. Baptism actually washes away sin as the water washes away the dirt.
Right. So in other words, something spiritual is happening even as something physical is also happening.
Yes, and it's the same thing.
And the physical symbolizes the spiritual?
As a philosopher, I think our major difficulty is Descartes here. Descartes, the father of modern philosophy, and he comes at us with very clear and distinct ideas, deliberately. And his idea of matter and his idea of mind or spirit are totally distinct. Matter can't think at all, but it takes up space. And spirit doesn't take up space at all, but it thinks. So there's nothing in common between those two. And we can't get back behind Descartes to realize that that division is artificial, that a symbol can be both physical and spiritual at the same time. And we are that kind of thing. We're not just a ghost plus a machine. We're not a haunted house. We're both fully physical and fully spiritual. So sacraments fit our human nature.
I have to confess, I've never heard that before, and I find that very compelling and intriguing. And it sounds quite right. Although, I guess when you're talking to a materialist, for example, somebody who doesn't believe in the spiritual at all, you know, that seems to me patently absurd. There's clearly something beyond the physical. And of course, when you divide, when you sort of make enemies of the material versus the spiritual, then it becomes very Greek and rationalistic and non-Christian.
And heretical, Gnostic.
Right,
yes.
And Gnostic. So the reason, one of the reasons Christianity fascinates me and strikes me as true is that it doesn't do either of those things. Tell us about that just a bit. We're talking about great mysteries, aren't we?
Well, let's look at a couple of passages in the gospel. Jesus says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So no materialistic magic. On the other hand, when the woman with the hemorrhage touches the hem of his garment, she is healed. Not before she touches it, but after. If in faith she touched Peter's garment, she would not have been healed. If you were on Calvary and you were under the cross and you received Jesus' blood, that is divine blood and saving blood. If you were under the good thief's cross, you received ordinary human blood. It makes a difference.
Okay.
The physical makes a difference.
Hang on. We're going to be right back with some more wonderful theology and conversation with Dr. Peter Kraft. Stick around. Albin, I would like to talk about Relief Factor.
Sure, yeah.
But you know what? Even better than my talking about it, what about if we hear from Julia? Can we hear from Julia?
Yeah.
Is she here? Let's go.
I had pain in my hands that kept me from work and doing projects around the home. I heard about Relief Factor on the radio and began taking it, and it left me with pain-free hands again. I was able to do the things around the house that I enjoy doing. I'm so glad I found Relief Factor.
Okay, I got to say, Relief Factor was actually created by doctors who wanted a 100% drug-free supplement that could help your own body deal with inflammation and those aches and pains due to aging, exercise, whatever it is, which is why I take it. Look, you can do all kinds of stuff, but this is—it's very inexpensive. It's drug-free. It's safe, and within 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you. It works for most people, so check it out. It's ReliefFactor.com. Highly recommended, folks. ReliefFactor.com.
Donald Trump is set to use gold to challenge the Federal Reserve. This action will drive the stock market higher and make gold prices soar. My name's Adam Baratta. I'm the co-owner of Advantage Gold and the author of the national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. For 47 years, the Fed has secretly valued gold at $42 an ounce. Trump is set to reveal their secret and force the Fed to properly value the gold on their balance sheet. I lay it all out in my most recent report, How Trump Will Trump the Fed. His executive action will ramp up the world economy and cause the price of gold to double overnight. To get my report, text the words Trump Gold to 49776. That's Trump Gold to 49776. Trump knows a higher gold price will unleash the U.S. economy. To get my report, get it right on your phone, right now, no questions asked, text Trump Gold to 49776. That's Trump Gold to 49776. If you're an investor, you need to see this. Text Trump Gold to 49776.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/America. That's ZipRecruiter.com/America. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/America.
Do you own a timeshare? Were you sold on the idea of creating memories for your family and vacations for a lifetime? What you meant for good probably put you in a financially bad situation. High interest loans, forever contracts. Does this sound like something you'd want to pass on to your kids? As it says in Proverbs 22:7, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Timeshare agreements are often selfishly designed with no concern for the well-being of you and your family. You were never meant to be in permanent bondage. Timeshare Freedom Group is ready to help you change your situation. We've helped thousands of people like you rightfully and legally cancel their timeshare contracts. We're the leaders in the industry with decades of experience, and we share your values. We even offer a 100% money-back guarantee. Be a good steward of your family's finances. Start the freedom process now. Call 844-789-CANCEL. That's 844-789-CANCEL. 844-789-CANCEL.
Spirit in the sky. We're talking about spirit and substance and symbol and all that good stuff. Dr. Peter Kraft, when you talk about the physicality being important to Christians, this is something that I think some Christians, many Christians, and most non-Christians miss about Christianity. They don't understand that the incarnation, the physicality of our humanity, all of those things are not really meant to be transcended. They're meant to be redeemed, and yes, there's a difference.
Yes.
One thing I think that the Catholics get right to the point of sometimes getting it wrong is this focus on things as important. A relic, for example. Mm-hmm. Talk about that for a moment. I mean, because many people think, like, my goodness, why would anyone care that that's the knuckle bone of Saint so-and-so?
Well, when you're dead, you get buried, and almost all ancient cultures have the instinct that it is a holy obligation to bury dead bodies, even though the soul is not there anymore. That body was once a soul. The soul is not a ghost, and the body is not a machine, so the body-soul compound is neither a ghost nor a machine. It's something else. It's something that Cartesian categories cannot understand. A book is meaning, and a book is also squiggles of black ink on white paper. And the meaning isn't added to the ink on the paper. The ink on the paper is the meaning. The beauty of a piece of music is not just the subjective reaction we get from it. It's the beauty in the music itself, in the sound. So the physical and the spiritual are not two things. They're two dimensions of one thing.
They're two. Now, hang on, because that's a good one. They are two dimensions of one thing. So I have to pause and rewind and ask you, when you say that someone who dies, the body is buried, you say that body was once a soul. That I find a little confusing.
It
I always
wasn't
thought that
once a soul. It was once a human being whose life was the soul. The soul is not a ghost. The soul is the life of a body.
That's what I'm not getting. In other words, what's the difference? In other words, how is the body I have a great reverence for bodies, right? I don't take it lightly the way, let's say, maybe a Buddhist might, or many evangelicals might. I think cremation is something we ought not to do because we should have a high view of the body. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure that I understand it in the way you just put it. In other words, how is it not, how are we not spirits inhabiting bodies?
If we're spirits inhabiting bodies, then bodies are, to our spirits, what houses are to our bodies. Temporary residences, and you just go from one house to another. And the essence of you isn't changed when you go from one house to another. The house is accidental. It just happens to be where you are. That fits Hinduism, reincarnation. You go into different bodies, and it doesn't matter which body you have. It doesn't fit Christianity.
Okay, in other words, what you're... Well, but to be clear, we get resurrected bodies, so we do get new bodies, do we not?
Yes, but in a sense, it's the same body. Look at Christ's resurrected body, which is the only empirical evidence we have of a resurrected body. It was his body. It had wounds. It had physical wounds. It could eat. The disciples thought he was a ghost. To prove that he wasn't, he said, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And he ate something. Ghosts don't eat.
They gave him a piece of honeycomb and a fish, proving that it's not sinful to eat animals. QED, thank you very much. Let me say that this is in some ways tricky, but I think important. I think very important. It's why I wanted to have you on, because I think a lot of times evangelicals in particular, and I would consider myself one, don't understand the history of the Christian faith and how we have thrown some babies out with some tubs of bathwater. The idea that, you know, maybe I don't need to venerate relics if I don't want, but woe betide those who forget that the human body is made in the image of God and that when we are resurrected, we're not going to be resurrected as robot bodies. You're going to be resurrected as some version of yourself. You just said that.
And that image of God is not simply the soul. The first time that phrase is used in Genesis, it refers to sex, male and female. The image of God, colon, male and female.
Made he them.
Yes.
Well, that gets us into much more controversial territory, which I love. We're living in strange times now where some people have very cavalierly and intellectually sloppily decided that we can do away with the idea of male and female as though those are some kind of absurd constructs which we can transcend. If you're any kind of a Christian, you can't do that.
If you're any kind of a common sense human being, you can't do that. I mean, some ideas are so far out in left field that they're not in the ballpark.
Well, but we have, of course, you know, cultural elites who have so little courage that they don't even seem to be able to stand against the wild idea that male and female have no meaning.
Well, if you're a consistent Cartesian, it makes sense. Your essence is totally spiritual, and it has nothing to do with gender or sex or reproduction or pregnancy or organs. It's just your mind. People in Silicon Valley often believe that. They talk about artificial intelligence as if a machine could be intelligent. A machine is only intelligent in the same way that a book is intelligent. It registers and processes the results of our intelligence. There's no such thing as artificial intelligence.
I was going to say that there's no question that the intelligence has to originate from without, and there can be no artificial intelligence that created itself or that has any other origin than the human being who created it. That's a simple fact. So you're right. The idea of artificial intelligence is itself artificial. This is getting complicated.
And not intelligent.
And not intelligent whatsoever. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back talking to Dr. Peter Kraft.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask Home Advisor?
Home what? HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
Everyone's talking about Better Together, the exciting new talk show by women and for women, airing daily on TBN Television Network. Join host Lori Crouch and some awesome women of faith in action. Better Together is a fast-moving 30 minutes of honest, engaging conversation about all sorts of issues. No topic is off limits. That's what Better Together is all about, living, loving, and growing in God's grace together as friends and family. Join in weekdays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific for Better Together, exclusively on TBN.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The rift between congressional Republicans and Democrats is growing following Attorney General William Barr's failure to testify before a House committee.
In her toughest comments yet, Speaker Nancy Pelosi minced no words.
The Attorney General of the United States of America was not telling the truth to the Congress of the United States. That's a crime.
I do not believe Attorney General Barr lied. I believe he's been very transparent in all of this.
Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy instead lashing out at Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler.
Nadler has been wanting to impeach the day after the election. He can't have the facts to prove of why he should, but he will not stop.
McCarthy accusing Democrats of wasting their majority and saying it's time to move the country forward.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines. From the White House Rose Garden today, President Trump gathered with religious leaders to observe the National Day of Prayer. This is SRN News.
Donald Trump is set to use gold to challenge the Federal Reserve. This action will drive the stock market higher and make gold prices soar. My name's Adam Baratta. I'm the co-owner of Advantage Gold and the author of the national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. For 47 years, the Fed has secretly valued gold at $42 an ounce. Trump is set to reveal their secret and force the Fed to properly value the gold on their balance sheet. I lay it all out in my most recent report, How Trump Will Trump the Fed. His executive action will ramp up the world economy and cause the price of gold to double overnight. To get my report, text the words Trump Gold to 49776. That's Trump Gold to 49776. Trump knows a higher gold price will unleash the U.S. economy. To get my report, get it right on your phone, right now, no questions asked, text Trump Gold to 49776. That's Trump Gold to 49776. If you're an investor, you need to see this. Text Trump Gold to 49776.
I hate to cut off Peter Frampton, but what are you going to do? I have Dr. Peter Kraft in the studio, Dr. Peter Kraft of the King's College. We're talking about all kinds of interesting things. We're talking about substance and symbol. We haven't yet officially talked about mind and brain, but that's effectively what we're talking about, isn't it? When we talk about the noose, the brain, these are two different things. And so if you believe in artificial intelligence, you seem to be implying, not you, but anyone, that the brain and the mind are the same thing. Mm. We don't believe that.
No, common sense doesn't believe that. The fact that there is such a thing as brain surgery or brain chemistry means that there's a mind that's looking at the brain as an object.
But that's a different mind.
But the brain can, but I can look at my own brain.
Oh,
are there two eyes
saying.
There? Is there a spirit that's looking at the body? Is there a ghost that's looking at the machine? Does the word I mean two people? Am I a schizophrenic?
Wow. People are going to have to rewind and listen to that three times before they get that. That was very heavy what you just said. Nonetheless, there are people who seem to have this naive view, very intelligent people, maybe foolish, but very intelligent, who seem to believe that a brain is the same as a mind, and that it's possible at some point it will be possible to create computers with such a high level of intelligence that somehow they will make the infinite leap into consciousness. You know, and I know that there are brilliant people who seem to believe this.
Well, you can't believe in any kind of life after death if you believe that, because brains decay. And if the brain is just the mind, then minds decay.
Well, they don't believe in life after death.
They don't. Well, that's too bad.
Yeah.
They're going to be surprised.
I know. But it is funny, though, that there are brilliant people who actually believe this, that the brain and the mind are the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's called reductionism. And if you follow out Occam's razor to its logical conclusion, namely always use the simplest possible hypothesis, then you are tempted to materialism. You just throw away the whole spiritual world. Equally, you could use Occam's razor to do a kind of a Buddhist spiritualism. Throw out matter. It's just an illusion of consciousness. You can't point to any kind of matter without pointing, and that's an act of consciousness. So you can believe that the whole material world is just a dream.
What? Okay, so let me, we just have a few moments left in this hour, but I will, we're going to lock the doors and keep you for at least part of a second hour. We're talking about important things, but all of them tie back to what you have here in your book, your new book, Symbol or Substance, A Dialogue on the Eucharist with C.S. Lewis, Billy Graham, and J.R.R. Tolkien. In other words, we're talking about the meaning of meaning. We're talking about the meaning of matter. We're talking about some really heavy stuff. And the Eucharist, it's all summed up right there. And so I suppose in this book, you do get rather philosophical.
Well, the Eucharist can't be understood without understanding Christ, and Christ is the same paradox. He's fully God and fully man. He's fully supernatural and fully natural. He's like a movie maker who puts himself into his own movies. The same person. Night Shyamalan or Alfred Hitchcock both did that.
Yeah.
One person with two natures, supernatural and natural.
Well, we're done with this hour, but folks, if you've enjoyed it, we'll add a second hour starting right now. If you haven't enjoyed it, we're still going to add the second hour. So tough luck. Thanks for listening. Dr. Crave, thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.